Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Setting 3, page 15. Hymn of praise that we did on Sunday is the opening hymn, so we'll have no hymn of praise. Instead of prayers to the church, we're going to pray the great litany when the prayers of the church come due. Pastor Moa's family is set, I don't have to say tentatively, right? We can say it's set for 3 o'clock on Tuesday at Emmanuel.
This coming Tuesday?
What's that?
This coming Tuesday?
Yeah. You want to do it soon? Next Sunday at 9 o'clock, we have service at Emmanuel. Anybody have any other announcements? Am I missing something? Gary, who's the visitors you have?
This is Steve and Patty Wasses here. They that we took.
Thank you. Please rise if you sing our opening hymn.
I called on the Lord in distress.
The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And for his mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now say,
his mercy endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron now say,
His mercy endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord now say,
His mercy endures forever.
I called on the Lord in distress.
The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place.
The Lord is on my side.
I will not fear. What can man do to me?
The Lord is for me among those who help me.
Therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me.
It is better to trust in the Lord
than to put confidence in man.
It is better to trust in the Lord
than to put confidence in princes.
All nations surrounded me,
but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them.
They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me.
But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them.
They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire to moth, thorns.
For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them.
You pushed me violently that I might fall.
But the Lord helped me.
I called on the Lord in distress.
The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place.
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord,
have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our reading for this evening is the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, taken from the four Gospels. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, also called the Passover, drew near. And Jesus said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Feast of the Passover. And the Son of Man will be given over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and scribes assembled with the elders of the people in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted how they might take Jesus craftily and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, one of the 12. He went on his way to the chief priests and captains and spoke together with them how he might betray Jesus to them. They were glad to hear him. He said to them, what will you give me to betray him to you? They promised to give him money and agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. He accepted, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Then came the first day of the unleavened bread, where they sacrificed the Passover lamb. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover, that we may eat it. They said to him, where do you want us to prepare it? He said to them, go into the city, and when you have entered the city, watch for a man bearing a pitcher of water. When he meets you, follow him into the house where he enters. You shall say to the man who lives there, the master says to you, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover over at your house. Where is the room for me to eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. The disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They came into the city and found it as he had told them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the apostles with him. As they were eating, he said, I have longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. As they were eating, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Truly, I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink anew with you in the kingdom of my Father. There is also a strife among them as to which of them should be accounted the greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority over them, are called benefactors. It shall not be so among you. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as that the one who serves. For who is greater, he that sits at the table, or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at the table? But I am among you as a servant. You are they who have continued with me in my temptations. I appoint you to a kingdom, as my Father has appointed me. You shall eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus knew that his hour was come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Already Satan had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had girded himself with. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not know, but after these things you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you will have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has been bathed does not need to wash more than his feet, for he is clean altogether. You are clean, but not all of you." He knew who was to betray him. That is why he said not everyone was clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You called me the Master and the Lord, and it is good that you say this, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have done this to show you the way to do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he greater than the one who sent him. If I now know these things, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. The scripture must be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Already now I tell you of this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives anyone whom I shall send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said these things, his spirit was in turmoil. He bore witness and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another dumbfounded about whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Simon Peter said to him, "Ask who it is whom he is speaking." That disciple who was reclining on Jesus' chest said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "It is the one to whom I shall give the piece of bread after I have dipped it." He dipped the piece of bread he had in his hand and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After the piece of bread had been dipped, Satan entered into that woman. Jesus said to him, "What you are doing, do quickly." No one at the table knew what the purpose of what Jesus had said to him, because Judas kept the money bag. Some thought Jesus told him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. When that man had received a piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself, and at once he will glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. For this I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but afterwards you will follow me." Here ends our reading. Please rise as we confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you. each of the midweek services, we're going to have a passion reading, and we're going to review two of the commandments. The two commandments for this evening are the first and second. I can't remember the name of the pastor that wrote this up. It was in the late 1800s, early 1900s. I think it was Pastor Rao from Iowa. So the Ten Commandments preach repentance. That is, by them God shows you your sin and how much you need a Savior. First commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? You should fear and love and trust in God above all things. For my God is that which I love, trust, and fear most in my life. I expect my comfort, good, and delight from my God. So do I look to God, my Heavenly Father, for all love, good, and joy? Is everything measured for me by what pleases me? In all things, am I self-centered and selfish? Do I see my worry and fretting as sin against trusting God? Do I love the things God gives me more than I love Him? And do I cling to what God takes away, even though He gives me Himself? Do I believe in myself, my prayers, my faith, my good deeds, or anything else that I do above the Lord God? The second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God in vain. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by His name, but call upon Him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. So do I curse? Have I cursed? Do I use God's name cheaply for oaths that are frivolous or false? Do I stand up and swear by God's name when it is for the truth of the gospel or for the benefit of my neighbor in need? Am I tolerant of false preaching and teaching? Do I pray with fervor in times of trouble? Am I bored and indifferent in prayer? Is it so that I cannot speak about God truly because I am bored with God's word, neglect the study of the catechism, doctrine in God's word? Is my heart and life in the praise of God and worship? Am I mouthing things while my heart is far away? Is my life marked with the name of God in baptism, characterized by thanksgiving and praise? Please rise. Lent 1 is going to be about cause and effect, faith and love. The text for this sermon is from 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Dear saints in Christ, St. John clearly explains the relationship between faith and love when he wrote this passage. Now, there is no uncertainty or poetry here. The whole relationship hinges upon the word because. It is because you have passed from death to life. That is, because you have been justified by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven all your sins, and you have been declared to be His own children, that you love the brother. No honest reader can mistake these words to say that your love of the brethren, that is, in your keeping of the law, is what causes you to pass over from death to life. that statement would not be true even if you did love the brethren perfectly. And of course, you haven't. But St. John says the opposite in any case. It is the reality that God has loved you, that God has brought you over from death to life by grace, that results in your love of the brethren. And therefore, also that which defines your love. In some sense, you could say that also limits your love of the brethren, for defined by the love of God in Christ who brought you over from death to life. You cannot and you do not love what God does not. So you do not love death. You do not love Satan. And you do not love sin. Though the language here can be a little confusing, perhaps there are no passages in Holy Scripture that speak more directly and eloquently about this reality than in the second chapter of James. What does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And as he was called the friend of God, you see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The confusing bit comes after James cites what is arguably the most important passage of all the Bible about justification by faith. That is, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. For it is then that James says, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Nevertheless, if you pull that out of context, you could be confused. But it is not confusing in context. James is rather explicitly clear about what he means. He does not mean that works add to faith and that works earn God's favor. He means that works show faith. He says this explicitly. I will show you my faith by works. He also defines his terms. He explains that he is speaking against the unchristian, an impossible idea that would cause someone to say something such as, I have faith, but I don't have works. There is no true faith without works. Simply claiming to have faith does not save any more than claiming that you can jump to the moon makes it so. Your faith is evident in works. Your faith is evident in love. James' point is that faith without works is not true faith, but it is a delusion. Faith without works is not living, it is dead. But Jesus lives. You see, God is the God of the living. There is no such thing as a dead faith. That is not faith. It is simply unbelief pretending to be faith. For Abraham was not saved by doing good works. No, he was saved by faith. He believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. His living faith then acted in obedience to God's command. And that obedience showed that his faith was genuine and he was saved. Now this might sound ridiculous, and it is, but James is not writing against a hypothetical possible error. This false claim existed in his day, and it still does, though it is typically hidden in moral and sincere language, meant to excuse impious, sinful behaviors. You have all done it to some degree. You have done it because you're old men. You are all libertines and gluttons who seek pleasures and avoid pain above all else. In your circles, it often crouches behind the distinctions of law, church and state, and law and gospel. The excuse of church and state is usually used to hide your sins of omission. You pretend to have no obligation to mercy or concern for your neighbors, and that someone else should be the one to do it. When you use the law and gospel as an excuse, is often to cover up the crasser sins of commission, where you pretend that the gospel is licensed for you to indulge in your flesh, or to somehow exercise in your faith and laughing at the devil, when you are really mocking the gospel. The difficulty, of course, is that these distinctions are valid and essential. You can in no way do away with them and keep the pure doctrine and the real comfort that God promises and wants for you. But you must be on your guard, for you are all expert excuse makers and self-justifiers and idol cravers. Jesus knew this. That is why he gave you the golden rule. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You see, in many ways, this is just simply a restatement of the second table of the law. To love your neighbor as yourself. You are all experts in how you want to be treated. This true preaching of the law cuts through your excuses. It shows you almost immediately what is right and exposes your two-faced, double-standard hearts. Dear saints in Christ, a return to First John can bring some light to this. Shortly after John writes, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. You see, he confirms what James has written. He writes, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. You see, your heart would condemn you if you needed to be saved. All you needed to do was have perfect love for one another. Thanks be to God that your hearts do not condemn you because you trust in Christ. for his love is perfect. Your heart is sorrowful for your sins, and so you repent. But your heart also trusts in God's promises and is eager to be like him. Your desire to love your brother is confirmation of your faith. That is confirmation that you have been accepted and changed by the love of Christ. St. John writes, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay our lives for our brothers." Finally, St. John puts it all together for you. This is what God's will is, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. In his name we pray this. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We speak the offertory. Create
in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
Temptation.
Help us, good Lord.
For agony and bloody sweat.
Help us, O Lord.
By your cross and passion.
Help us, O Lord.
By your precious death and burial.
Help us, O Lord.
By your glorious resurrection and ascension.
Help us, O Lord.
By the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, O Lord.
In all time of our tribulation.
Help us, O Lord.
In all time of our prosperity.
Help us, O Lord.
In the hour of death.
Help us, O Lord.
And in the day of judgment.
Help us, O Lord.
We poor sinners implore you.
To hear us, O Lord God.
And to rule and govern your holy Christian church.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To reserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word and in holy living.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To put an end to all schisms and causes of offense.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To beat down Satan under our feet.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To send faithful laborers into your harvest.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise up those that fall and to strengthen those who stand.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
And to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give all nations peace and concord.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To preserve our country from discord and contention.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give our nation perpetual victory over her enemies.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To direct and defend our president and all in authority.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To bless and keep our magistrates and all our people.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To behold and succor all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To protect all who travel.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To preserve all women in the perils of childbirth.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To set free all who are innocently imprisoned.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To defend and provide for all fatherless children and widows.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
And to have mercy upon all men.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give and preserve to our use the fruits of the earth.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
And graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us. Amen.
Heavenly Father, into whose keeping we entrust our loved ones, help us to look to you in our time of sorrow, remembering the cloud of faithful witnesses with which we are surrounded. Grant that we may one day share the joys of those who now rest in your presence. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 We continue with the communion hymn.
Thank you.
lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right and our hearts so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels, with Valerie and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ,
the Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen.
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ. Take, eat. True body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. True body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, true blood of Christ,
Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Serve the Lord.
Amen.
Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, you're meant to death for your sin.
It was a constant, singing dream that God.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen me, preserve your body and soul. Please rise as we continue with the new commitments. Lord,
now bless thou thy servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Let us pray the common table prayer, return thanks for doing it. Come, Lord
Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. We give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We are. Psalms 552, verses 1 and 8.